The next quantifier of rabbinic of biblical prohibitions is shvut and uvda dechol. So now we're entering a totally new realm. Some things are not biblically prohibited, but they're still prohibited rabbinically, what's called shvut. So harbe peulot af shen mutarot min haTorah, we have all kinds of actions that the Torah does not prohibit it. O mitam sheinan domot lemlachot shenasu b'mishkan, could be they're not like anything they did in the Mishkan. Where does it say in the Torah, I can't have my record player playing all Shabbos? I want to listen to Tchaikovsky all of Shabbos. Where in the Torah does it say I can't have Tchaikovsky? I'll turn on the CD player. I'll have it on repeat all. I'll listen. No, that's on Eg Shabbos. Where does it say that? So there are certain things that the Torah doesn't encompass. But we're going to see that they're nonetheless prohibited. So some things are not really under the criterion of a biblical prohibition. You're not doing a biblical act. Or you're going to do something which you're doing it in a way that that's not how they did it in the Mishkan. So then they don't fall under the category of melechet machshevet. Mikol makom gazru al asiyatan midrabanan. Nonetheless, we're going to see that the rabbis prohibited certain things, even though they don't fall under the biblical prohibition. Tehainu. That is, kmo bechol ha-mitzvot sheru chachamim tzorech losif al isur Torah mishum siag v'geder. Just as we find with regards to other mitzvos, that the rabbis had a duty, they had a task to make fences around the mitzvos. So here too, shelo la'avor al isur Torah atzmo, because otherwise people would transgress a biblical prohibition. We'll take a simple example, which really we'll expand on later. Imagine you walked around on Shabbos with your cell phone. Okay, your cell phone's in your pocket. You're not going to use it. You walk around with a pen and a pad and a cell phone, but you're not going to use it. What's going to happen when the cell phone rings? You know, when my alarm clock rings every morning, I get up and I have a conversation with the alarm clock. I look at it and it looks at me. And I want to shut it, but I have to remember, wait a second, is it Shabbos today? I sit there looking at the alarm clock, racking my brain, wait a second, is it Shabbos or isn't it Shabbos? I don't remember when I wake up. I don't know. I have no idea. You know, when I go to sleep here at the Machon Thursday nights, I wake up, I don't know where I am. Looking around. Okay, this doesn't look like Kansas, right? So, we have things. Your cell phone rings, you know, you're thinking about something else, you could come to answering it. So here you have a rabbinic prohibition where the rabbis understood where we are. And the rabbi said, hey, wait a second. We got to tell you, take a step back, because otherwise, you know what your Shabbos would end up looking like. So there are certain rabbinic prohibitions which help us. They assist us to ensure we don't transgress the biblical ones. K'mochen milchot Shabbat, so this we find also in the laws of Shabbos, ra'u gam ken harbe pamim tzoch lasot mishmert lilchot Shabbat. The rabbis often saw a need to make protections to the laws of Shabbos. Vosifu Yisroi Drabanan, and they added rabbinic prohibitions, v'nikrein v'shem Shvut, and they are called Shvut. Now here he brings a footnote, which he quotes the Ramban, I would quote Rashi. Our sages derived from the words Shabbaton, that the Torah says on Yom Kippur, and we learn from there for all holidays and Shabbos, that it should be a day of rest. Yes? So, wait a second. The Torah told me what not to do. What was the Torah telling me? Keep it a day of rest. So the rabbis understood from that word that the Torah was saying, you rabbis, you have to take responsibility beyond the biblical prohibitions to ensure that it remains a day of rest. So this seems to be a biblical source that's different than the other sources for other mitzvot. Here the Torah specifically says, I want you to ensure that the day maintains its flavor, that it remains a day of rest. I gave you the biblical prohibitions. You have a responsibility to add prohibitions as you see fit to ensure the day maintains that flavor. And that's why we call all many rabbinic prohibitions of Shabbos, we call them shvut. Because they all are derived from that verse which says, Shavuot, God says, I want you to rest on Shabbos. God was, so to speak, saying, you get the idea. You know, the kid comes in and says, Dad, what do you want me to do? And you're going to say, I want you to clean up the floor of your room. So he's going to take everything off the floor and put it on his bed. And you're going to say, I want you to clean the bed. And he's going to take everything off the bed and put it in the closet. And you're going to say, I want you to clean up the closet. And at some point, you're going to say, hey, kid, I'm not going to go into details. I'm going to tell you, I'm coming back. I want to see the room completely in order. Right? You're not going to go into all the details because whatever you do, he's going to figure something else out. I want you to get the room organized. And you know what I want. So sometimes you got to come all-encompassing and say, get it done. I'm not going to go into the details. The same is true with Shabbos. Comes the Torah and says, I want you to rest. I'm going to tell you not to do A or B or C. I know you'll find ways around it. That's why the rabbis of the generation have to make the institutions to ensure it stays that way. You'll ask me, where does it say in Torah I can't have a TV running on Shabbos? I remember I, as a kid, visited someone for Shabbos, and this was in the days, you guys probably never heard of this man. His name was Michael Jackson. You guys? Yeah? Okay. So there was, he's dead, yes. So I was introduced on that Shabbos to Michael Jackson. Because there was a contest. You see, it made such an impression on me. I remember almost 3 decades have passed since then. Approximately 3 decades have passed since then. I still remember.
Traumatic experience.
Traumatic experience, yeah. I walk into the parents' bedroom and the TV's on. And the kid tells me, we leave it on before Shabbos. I said, what? She said, yeah, there's a contest between different singers and we want to know if Michael Jackson's going to win. Who's Michael Jackson? And she gave me this look like, you don't know who Michael Jackson is? Oh, okay. So where does it say you can't do that, right? Come on, show me where. So, some things are the spirit of Shabbos. Some things we say, no, you can't do that. I keep toying with the thought, people come to shul with these Alonei Shabbat, the Divrei Torah they give out for Shabbos. So many things can be happening in shul, and the guy's reading. I was so tempted, I keep asking myself if it's right to do this, to show up one Shabbos with a newspaper and sit where I sit in front of everyone and open up the newspaper. You know, why not? If you guys could sit there reading your things, you don't think there's anything wrong with that, so I'm going to open up. I'll bring a New York Times, a sports, you know, sports page. Have a big picture of a guy throwing a baseball. How do you feel sitting in shul, seeing the guy sitting in the front with a sports section open, right? Who said awesome? Okay, so some things you say, hey, that's not the spirit of what's supposed to be here. So the Torah came with an all-encompassing commandment. It said Shabbaton. Now, how do you apply that? So that's where the rabbis instituted rabbinic institutions. Sheyeh yom shvita u'mnucha v'lo torach. The Torah wanted it to be a day of rest, not a day of toil. V'imeinu matirin nasot kol ha'dvarim she'enam nichnasim b'gedor melacha asura. If we would say, anything that the Torah doesn't prohibit, I'm doing. Nimtza tochim kol ha'shabbat v'yom tov. So then you know what people would do? Honey, you want me to move that bookcase? Honey, you want me to shift those farm here? Honey, no problem, I have Shabbos. Yom Tov, we would spend all of our Shabbos and Yom Tov doing all those chores which I didn't have time during the week. What's wrong? It's not biblically prohibited. Came to the rabbis and said, okay, it's rabbinically prohibited. They saw where things were headed. When Ezra came back to Israel, he found people doing commerce on Shabbos. So they said, where in the Torah does it say we can't do commerce? Their shops were open on Shabbos. Okay, so people are, we have a day off, so you know, what do Americans do on their day off? They're in the garage, they're fixing the car, they're doing all the chores. Right, I'm talking about the, whatever. Nimtza tochim, so we would end up really working all of Shabbos and Yom Tov. V'enze yom menucha v'shvita menatoch v'amal, that's not a day of rest. And that's why the Ramban quotes, and Rashi also quotes this in Tractate Rosh Hashanah, that we derive from the word Shabbaton. So, very often when our sages want to indicate that something is not biblically prohibited, they tell us patur. The word patur, when it comes to the laws of Shabbos, is indicative that you're not going to have to bring a sacrifice. It's not biblically prohibited. Nonetheless, it is rabbinically prohibited. We have two terms, patur and mutar. Now, the word patur is usually used in monetary matters. Do I owe him money? The answer is patur, you don't owe him. The equivalent in halachic matters of prohibited or not is mutar. Here, our sages borrowed a term from monetary matters. They said patur. What does patur mean? We're doing the laws of Shabbos. Tell me either mutar or not mutar, prohibited or permitted. What are you telling me not obligated? What's that? What is patur? So our sages use that as a code to indicate to us not obligated to bring a sacrifice, but yes, rabbinically prohibited. Anytime you encounter the word patur in Shabbat, the general rule, it's rabbinically prohibited. Patur means not biblical, but yes, rabbinic. Guys, clear? Yes? So we have three terms. We have more. We'll make believe we have three. We have chayav, obligated. We have mutar, permitted. And then we have that middle road, patur, not obligated to bring a sacrifice. So it's not biblically prohibited, but yes, rabbinically prohibited. Now, you'll ask me, what do I care if it's biblical or rabbinic? If I can't do it, I can't do it. I know I can't do business on Shabbos. And I'll tell you, yeah, but sometimes, if something is rabbinic, then we can be more lenient. Let's take a case that we will not analyze to the bottom line halachically, but we'll just open it up. Okay? You guys probably know there's this tool outside Machon Meir. It's used very often. It's called the internet. You've heard of it, right? Okay? So on this tool, people will very often have the capacity to purchase or sell or charge their credit card. Okay? You have a website. People visit your website, they purchase, or they make a donation. Do you have to take down your website on Shabbos? And let's say you have to take it down on Shabbos. Well, Shabbos is about 36 hours long, because it depends on where you are on the planet. So I'm here in Jerusalem, but Shabbos starts many hours earlier if you go around the globe. And Shabbos ends many hours later. Go out to California. You got to keep your website down for another 8 hours, 10 hours, 9 hours. After Shabbos, now they moved the clock. 10 hours, right? No, why? Nine. Right? 9 hours. Because it's Shabbos there. I didn't say you have to. I'm just saying, so the first question we're going to ask is, what's the transgression? Is it biblical or rabbinic? Then we're going to ask, okay, is it one level rabbinic, two levels rabbinic, three levels? For example, if I have a website, but it's a non-Jew who buys from my website. So it could be that a non-Jew buying from my shop is only rabbinic. A non-Jew buying from my shop online is double rabbinic.
No, but it's like leaving the lights on.
Could be. So you're saying there's another angle to analyze. I'm not doing anything. I'm inactive. Maybe. The question is, what happens if he uses PayPal and he has a verified account and it says non-refundable?
But doesn't the ownership come to him only when the object actually gets into his possession?
His ownership. What about my ownership of the money? Okay, so that brings us to the whole discussion of a Bitcoin, the idea of electronic money, meaning electronically I own that money already. On Shabbos, I made money.
Couldn't you just open up like a joint account that and then transfer that money?
Okay, so there's, you understand what I'm saying? There's a, but the issue begins with the question, what's biblical, what's rabbinic? And then you start analyzing. If it's rabbinic, then what about if I'm passive, like you mentioned right away? What about, so the halachic criterion will change depending on whether something's biblical or rabbinic. How far do I have to go in order to ensure it's permissible? One of the questions we'll have to ask, do I sell something that Jews want, non-Jews want, or the general populace wants? If I'm selling buttons, then my clientele ranges all around the world. You could say most of the world is non-Jews. So why do I have to worry that the guy who's buying it is a Jew? Now what happens when I notice that Mr. Goldberg in Brooklyn, New York, made a purchase on Shabbos afternoon? You know, then...
He really knows how to push my button.
Okay, but you understand. So that's where we start analyzing. Is it biblical? Is it rabbinic? How many rabbinic is it? Is it one? Is it two aspects rabbinic? Three aspects rabbinic? And we will see that that will make the difference between when something becomes prohibited or permitted. So that's where you have to understand what level of prohibition everything is.
Again, the scenario of the light could be like in order to compare, because if you leave the light on, could come another Jew and turn the light off. You know?
Okay, you're saying you're so passive here, but there's more to analyze about it. Okay, I brought it as an example that we all live and are aware of.
Yeah.
We'll see. We can't analyze it yet, But just as an example of somewhere where it will make a difference how prohibited the action is, to help us find the way to work with the system.